Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Helix Reviews Podcast. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. And today on the show, I'm going to be talking about Murder on the Orient Express, the movie based on the Agatha Christie novel, which I have never read, but I have seen one of the older movies that was based on that novel, probably the one with the Poirot that was in the television series, because I've seen quite a bit of that Poirot. And I've seen it so long ago that I really didn't remember anything except for the twist. The twist, which is like the only thing I shouldn't remember here, because going into this movie, I don't want to know who's the bad guy, right? But going into this movie, that's the only thing that I knew about really going into this movie. And so, if this movie's going to impress me, it's going to have to do more than just give me a surprise ending. Did it? Well, let's jump into the review.
There is something about a tangle of strangers, pressed together for days with nothing in common but the need to go from one place to another and never see each other again.
Murder on the Orient Express. That is a horrible accent. Sorry, guys. All right, this movie is about Hercule Poirot, as he has just finished a case and he just wants a rest. He just wants a break from solving murders. He wants to go and take a rest, but he, on a train back to his home, he gets stuck in a snowdrift, and while they're in the snowdrift, someone gets murdered. And so it is up to the greatest detective in the world to figure it out.
I see evil on this train. A passenger has died.
Themes. This is the part of the show where I'm going to dive into the themes, messages, ideas, whatever kind of popped out and came across to me in this movie, I'm going to talk about here. Now, I don't really know how to talk about certain elements of this movie without spoiling it, so I'm not going to spoil it now, and I'm not going to spoil it in the review. I'm going to talk about certain very big themes in this movie in a spoiler section after this review. But before the review, I'm going to talk about something else that I noticed while watching this. So if you're trying to look for the themes of a movie or something thematic in the movie, you know, with something that you look out for or you think about while watching the movie is what is this movie's perspective on God? You know, who is God in this movie? And while watching this movie, it kind of popped out to me how every time God is referenced, really, it's for the most part, every time God is referenced, he's kind of talked about in a way where he doesn't care, or at least, at the very least, he's not really interacting with what is going on Earth, you know? So, and this is by multiple people across the movie that kind of reference God as someone who is not, relevant, really, he's not even, he's not present, he's not there working or anything. He's very much a distant God and very much a God that doesn't care, or at least doesn't interact really in any way with the people on Earth. That kind of seems to be their perspective on God in this movie, because the idea of God and it's brought up a little bit throughout the movie from different characters and everything. Now, there's one character that's kind of the quote-unquote, religious character, and I put that in quotes because I believe everybody is religious, but okay. But you got the Christian-ish kind of character, and they're kind of looked on as maybe a little bit crazy, And so basically, it it really kind of came across to me that, yes, there is a god, but it's not a god that cares or really that deserves our worship or adoration or anything, you know, of that nature. Okay, so that's the one thing that popped out to me. The other thing is very spoilery, and so I will get into that after this review. And there'll be a spoiler warning and everything, so don't you worry. But for right now, let's jump into the review.
So they got him after all. You assume he was killed?
No, not. Well, he was in perfectly good health. He had his enemies.
Indeed, he was murdered.
Murder here? God rest his soul.
I have not read any of Agatha Christie's novels about Hercule Poirot, but as I was mentioning before, I am a fan of the Poirot British television series. I think it's on the BBC, if I'm not mistaken. But that British television series, I thought, is very good. There's some really good mysteries there. It's a good take on the character and stuff. And that's really kind of where I got and really, like, liked this character, you know? And so if I'm going to be kind of basing this, you know, opinion on anything, it's going to be kind of based on what I have experienced with that version of the character, more so than any of the books, any of the other movies, or anything like that. Okay, that's where I'm coming from here. I was coming into this, you know, pretty open mind, hoping for something good, and Kenneth Branagh plays Hercule Poirot, and he's the best part of this movie. He is. He is great in this role, and he really... Poirot is kind of an eccentric kind of character, and while he's eccentric in different ways a little bit than I'm used to from, you know, the other television series, it still very much feels of the Poirot kind of variety of eccentric, and so I definitely enjoyed his character. He was a lot of fun. And then you got this whole other huge cast of characters. You know, these are the people that, you know, it could be on the train. You know, there's like 12 people or 12 or 13 people all stuck on this train, and then one of them dies, kind of thing. And the actors here, it is nuts that the cast this thing has. I mean, you got Daisy Ridley, you have Josh Gad, Johnny Depp, Michelle Pfeiffer, Judy Dench, William Dafoe, the other people. There's a lot of actors and recognizable faces in this movie. And, you know, overall, I'd say the acting is really good. But I would also say that we don't get to spend enough time with a lot of the characters in this movie. Poirot is the best part of this movie, and that's because he's by far the character that got the most character development. Makes sense, he's the main character, okay. But the rest of the cast, while I think all the actors did really good with the roles that they had, there's so many characters here that they hardly had time, really, to focus in on any one of them. You know, if I were to say a standout, I mean, Johnny Depp stands out, not just because he is Johnny Depp, but I think he brings something extra to his character than a lot of actors probably would have, and I thought he did a really good job in his role. He's kind of like a gangster kind of character. Also, this is a movie where Johnny Depp doesn't, like, outshine everybody with his super weird, eccentric Johnny Depp, you know, Captain Jack Sparrow kind of stuff. So if you're looking out for a movie like that, there you go. But yeah, overall, you know, the acting from each one of these actors, I would say, is really good. But there's not a lot of... To me, I didn't see a lot of depth in all of these littler characters, the whodunit kind of characters. And so, you know, I'd have a hard time going, oh, you know, did he do it or did he not, based on his character, because we only got the briefest kind of outlines of his character. Man, I already got into some of my negative stuff here before. I normally try to get a lot of my positive stuff out first and then move into the negative. Okay, let's move back over to something more positive here. Okay, the cinematography. This movie looks amazing. Visually, it is very cool. The cinematography is great. Even some of the stuff where it's in the train is really cool. There is a couple, like, odd... Maybe this is an editing thing. There's some odd choices here where there was a couple points where it, like, cut away from a scene seemingly before the scene was over, I thought. And I was like, okay, that felt a little weird. That, it's kind of a nitpicky thing there. And also another kind of nitpicky thing as far as, like, the cinematography or editing or something there goes. But, like, there's a scene in the movie where... It's like, it's pretty much the first scene in the movie, and then it starts off with kind of this energetic kind of music, and there's this boy that's running through a crowd of people. Okay, so you're trying to get us off on kind of a fast, energetic beat, right? Cool, you know, makes sense, but like a couple seconds into his running, he runs behind a little group of people, and the energetic music is still going, like you're being all energetic and stuff. But for like 5 seconds, you don't see the boy again until he kind of pops out over there, and you're like, oh, okay, there he is. And I mean, this is like, this is a really small nitpicky thing, but it was just kind of strange where I was like, why did you choose that one where you didn't see the boy for a while? Like 5 seconds may not sound like a lot, but it's quite a bit when this is how you're opening your movie to a boy running, trying to keep, you know, trying to start a pace at a kind of a quick pace. And then there's like this little point in between where you see nothing. And it's just like, why is this the thing? It's just, there's a couple like editing or cinematography, not exactly sure, directing maybe, where to place the blame there, but there's a couple points where it's like that, and I was like, that's a little bit odd. And then there's also some, like scenes where, like, Perot is making, like, a passionate, like, speech or something, but the camera is, like, focusing on a different character, and it, like, never cuts away from him, and, I mean... You know, it like stays on a single shot of this other character. That could have worked. It could have been cool. But to me, it kind of felt like there was like, I don't know, maybe it's because of the characters, but it just made the scenes feel a little stagnant to me. Like the camera wasn't really moving. You're not seeing really the action here. You're seeing this other character kind of, I guess, responding to the action, which is... In a sense, you're seeing the action of the response to the action or whatever. But again, it just, I think it was an interesting choice that potentially could have worked, I guess. But to me, it didn't really work. And at points, it made the movie feel slow at choices like that. And I mean, this isn't like a super fast-moving movie anyway, which is okay. But at points... It made it feel slower than necessary. At least it seemed that way to me. This movie started out like really kind of snappy and witty and kind of, I don't know if I'd say fast paced, but you know, decently paced here where it's kind of moving along. And it's like that for the first like half an hour, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour or so. And I was really enjoying that. I was having a lot of fun. And then there does come a point where the movie kind of slows down. And I get why it's slowing down. It's because, you know, now we're investigating the murder mystery. But because, I guess it's because I didn't care too much about a majority of the characters on this train. It felt like it slowed down a little bit too much in the middle of the movie, you know, and so I didn't like that so much right there, kind of in the middle of the movie, because, you know, it's, you know, there's the decent clip, like I was saying at the beginning, and then, of course, there's the, you know, figuring out who did it and everything at the end, but that stretch in the middle sometimes seemed like it was, slow, and not slow in a good way. Now, overall, this movie was decent. This wasn't a bad movie by any means, but to me, it really wasn't a great movie either. I would be interested to see a sequel to this movie because Kenneth Branagh as Hercule Poirot, I thought was really good. And so I would be very interested to see him, you know, take on a different case or something like that, you know? And so I would be interested to see what a sequel would bring to this movie. Because I think the failure of the movie, I don't even know if I'd call it a failure, but the reason the movie is not amazing seems to me has more to do with them trying to focus too much attention on too many characters, and then ultimately you don't care about any of these group of characters because, you know, it's kind of all drawn really thin, you know? And so if they, you know, get Hercule Poirot, who is definitely the best character here, and they focus him on a different case with maybe a smaller group of characters, a different mystery or something, I would watch that. I would be interested in seeing that because I really liked some aspects of this movie, like Hercule Poirot, like the acting, and like the cinematography and everything. I thought was all really well done. And so if you could do that, maybe keep the pace going a bit faster than it did in this movie and actually get me, you know, some other, you know, group of characters that I care a little bit more about. I think this could have been a great movie, and I think you could make a sequel to this movie that would be a great movie. As this movie stands, though, I would say that it is decent. It's okay. But, you know, I'd say it's worth a watch if this is something that you'd be interested in, but it's also not something that I'd say you should go out of your way to see.
Someone was rummaging around my cabin in the middle of the night. No one would listen to me.
If there was a murder...
What is going on?
Then there was a murderer. The murderer is with us.
And every one of you is a suspect.
Murder on the Orient Express is rated PG-13. For violence and thematic elements, I would give it a 3 out of 5 stars on the enjoyability scale.
And who are you?
My name is Hercule Poirot, and I am probably the greatest detective in the world.
The Helix Reviews Podcast is a proud member of the Christian Geek Central Network, a hub for all kinds of cool Christian geeky stuff from around the web that's all funneled into one place, and that place would be ChristianGeekCentral.com. Check it out. Okay, so we've talked about the movie in non-spoiler detail, and now I'm warning you, spoiler warning for Murder on the Orient Express, because again, I want to talk about some of the themes that popped out to me that I found interesting and I noticed and I want to talk about on here, but I don't really know how to talk about these themes without spoiling the movie. So spoiler warning from here on out. So at the beginning of the movie, Hercule Poirot says that there is right and there is wrong, and that there is no in-between. And so, going into this movie, I'm like, nice. I like this guy. There is right, and there is wrong, and there is no in-between, you know? And the Bible says, you know, you're either for God, or you're against God. And, you know, there is no in-between, you know? There's sin, and there's not sinning, and there is no half-sin, you know? Right off the bat, I was like, nice, I like this guy. This guy has got, you know, maybe not a good moral compass per se, but at least he has the idea right that, you know, there is right and there is wrong, no in between, right? Well, okay, by the end of the movie, Poirot learns to follow his heart so that, and him following his heart is the something in between. And so he learns throughout this movie that, yes, there is right, yes, there is wrong, but there's also something in between, and that thing in between is following your heart. This just kind of, again, there biblically speaking, there is right and there is wrong, and there is no in between. And then throughout this movie, you know, he learns, oh no, there is actually something in between, kind of this moral relativism idea seeping into this movie. And at the end of the movie, he, you know, they figure out that it's every single one of the people on the train had something to do with it. They all, you know, stabbed him. And, but it was for, like, revenge, and it was taking this horrible man off of the train. And, you know, not off of the planet, essentially, right? And so he decides, okay, you know, this is fine, you know, or I'm gonna allow this, and I'm just gonna, you know, tell the police it was some, you know, guy that killed him and ran off into the night or whatever, and then we're just gonna leave them all to go. This is another thing that I remembered when I watched the older movie, because I remember not understanding that when I watched the older movie, because I even at the young age that I was, I don't know, I was pretty young when I watched it. I don't really remember much about it, but I remember that because I remember going, you know, it's the whole concept of, you know, like, oh, these people did something terrible, but I'm not gonna turn them in because, you know, for whatever reason. And I was just, that did not compute in my mind when I was that young. Watching it again here, I understand it on the level of, yes, this is the reasoning that he did it, but it still doesn't compute in my mind in the sense that I would agree with him. I mean, come on. So, like, essentially, as long as there is a valid reason for the crime, then it is fine to commit that crime, even to the extent of murder in this movie. I mean, okay. So, I mean, let's just start off with first, who's to say what is a valid reason to commit the crime, right? I mean, different people are going to give you different responses as to what the valid reason for committing the crime is. You know, we need someone to set the rules. We need someone to say, this is the line that you can't cross before it's no longer a valid reason, right? You know, so we don't just run rampant and do whatever is right in our own eyes, because, you know, we have a horrible sin nature, right? So who doesn't have that horrible sin nature that could set the rules? Well, the answer would be God, right? And he already set the rules, and there is a right, and there is a wrong, and there's no little wiggle room inside that wrong that would be following your heart. There's no room in the middle. There's no valid reason to commit a crime. As far as I can see, biblically speaking, there is no valid reason to commit a crime, because, I mean, you broke any validity you would have had by crossing the line and committing the crime in the first place. You know what I'm saying? This is kind of a do ends justify the means kind of scenario, and ultimately the answer is no. Yes, Johnny Depp's character was a horrible human being. Yes, he should have been put to death, but not by these people. He should have been put to death by the law, you know? And yes, the law wasn't doing its job because he, you know, was able to get out of it for whatever reasons, right? Okay. But ultimately, God is the dealer of justice, and, you know, revenge is not for you to execute. You know, vengeance is mine, I shall repay, says the Lord. Therefore, you know, we shouldn't be the ones that go and we should kill him. You know, God will avenge you, essentially. And so, so essentially, the whole, you know, learns to follow his heart, and that following his heart is the wiggle room in the middle between right and wrong. It's just kind of a really poor view on what is morality and what is right and wrong, and the solid or fluid nature of right and wrong. And yeah, so ultimately, message wise I would say this has a pretty poor message for everybody who watches it. So there you go, guys. All right, so that is it for this episode of the Helix Reviews Podcast, a podcast that is a proud member of the Crossover Nexus, a group of podcasts and blogs that explore faith, pop culture, and all kinds of cool stuff like that. You can check out the Crossover Nexus at crossovernexus.com. Check it out. Next time on the show, either there's going to be a Thor Ragnarok review, or the Thor Ragnarok review is going to come out before this episode. I just recorded this episode, and I'm going to record the Thor Ragnarok episode right after this, and so it's going to be bang boom. These two are going to be coming out pretty close together probably, and then Justice League's coming out. I don't know, that episode might be mixed in with these two. I don't know, depending on how fast I can record after that, but I hope to see that as soon as possible, because I am extremely excited to see that one. All right, so that is it for this episode. Guys, I'll see y'all on the next episode. This is David Arrington of the Heatless Reviews Podcast, signing out. Bye-bye, guys.
About the greater good.
The greater good.
How can this be for the greater good?
The greater good.
Shut it!